Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you as we come here today and we worship you and we give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And God, it puts us in awe that he died for us and then he rose again, and with the promise of his resurrection is our resurrection. So I pray a blessing on this message, Lord. I pray you'd anoint me. I just speak forth words of the Spirit. I pray each heart would be open to receive. And so we give this time to you, God. We pray you speak to us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll be in and that most of the time. If you'd like to do that, we'll have some overheads here. I was trying to think of a good message, a good title this morning. You don't know how challenging it is to think of a title to a message. It's like, oh, the message, okay, I don't know what to call it. But anyway, I finally said, it's resurrection or nothing. I said, and one of the reasons for that is without the resurrection, we have nothing. Without the resurrection, Christianity doesn't work. And so, you know, I love talking about the things of the scriptures and all that, you know, but really, we need to go back to the simple foundation of what we all stand on, and there's no argument. For a Christian, there's no argument. And one is the resurrection. You just go back. It's the foundation for everything. And so if you're talking to somebody that doesn't know much about Christianity, just stay on the resurrection because it's our foundation. I have almost every Sunday, I'll put something on Facebook, say, good morning, church. I'll say something like that. And so this morning, I put, he is risen. That was it. And so it was interesting, comments from people that I usually don't receive comments, and there's one person that doesn't go to the church, and she put, game changer. It's a game changer. It's a game changer. Resurrection is a game changer, and it separates Christianity from all other religions. So we really need to look closely at that now, and how important it is. So I want us to look first at 1 Corinthians 15:19, and this is kind of where, you know, we'll, you know, start our discussion this morning, the resurrection or nothing. And chapter 15, if you don't know 1 Corinthians, is mostly to do with the resurrection, whole chapter. So it's a good chapter to read on the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says this, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, circle only, underline only. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. So you take away the resurrection, we're the most pitied people in the world. People just shake their heads and look, we should shake our heads. We're the most pitied people in the world. If there's only hope in this life. Now let's think about that. And so he's going to be, the Lord's going to be unfolding some very interesting things for us. And so many Christians, you know, and we talk about all of the blessings we receive in this life. We talk about the guidance we receive in this life. However, what this is saying, as Christians, if we have hope only in this life, we are to be pitied among, above all, who are we to be pitied? All people. All people. If there's no resurrection, it's like, man, we're a sorry lot. I mean, it's like no hope. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So just take a thought here. That's very interesting. You know, well, we could have picked something else, but it doesn't say that about anything else. If our hope, how many think, you know, oh, you know, Jesus will do this for me. Jesus will do this for me. I'll do this for you. He'll have, you know, hallelujah. But if that's all we have, is this life, we're to be pitied more than the lost sinner, destitute in this world. We're worse off than they are. That's what it's saying. Okay, just put in context. That's what it's saying. It's like, well, maybe we better look at the resurrection here. If there is no resurrection, we would be better off. Now listen to this. If there was no resurrection, we would be better off to set our hearts and minds on all the things of this world and go out and grab all the gusto. and the benefits this world has to offer. That's what he's saying. See, there's no resurrection. We need to put every part of our soul into making it and getting everything this world has to offer if there's no resurrection. You've heard it said, you only go around once, and so grab all the gusto you can. The apostle said, yeah, that's right. If you're going around once, grab all the gusto you can if there's no resurrection. See? Listen to what the apostle Paul says just a few verses long. 1 Corinthians 15:32. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. We won't have anything without the resurrection. Nothing. I mean, that's what he is saying here. Cut to the chase. You know, what makes Christianity different? Well, now let's go to the resurrection. Because if we don't have the resurrection, we're worse off than any human being in the world. That's what he's saying here. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's a little stunning when you look at it. That's what I enjoy about the Bible. And I've said this before, the Bible is not politically correct. God is not politically correct. And he just says stuff like, this is the truth. I said, well, shouldn't you I've actually talked to God with my time. I said, shouldn't you soften this a little bit? You know? And then I think, well, I share with y'all. And I think, he didn't soften it, so I don't think I should. You know, it's not I'm worried about you. I'm kind of worried about him. You know, I didn't tell you to soften that, and you're in trouble. You know, so I'd rather be in trouble with you than in trouble with him. So I just say it. You know? So anyway, but here's one of them. And you go, you got to be kidding me. Like, I would never say this on my own to anybody. I don't believe in resurrection. You know, I'm a Christian. I don't believe. Well, you're the sorriest human in this world. The sorriest drunk's better off than you. Just want to let you know. See, I wouldn't say that. But God did. God said it. So I'm just repeating what he says. And then, so if there's no resurrection, go on, eat, drink, and be merry. How many times have you heard that? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. You didn't know you're quoting scripture. It was like, so here's the thought of it. We're looking at the resurrection and the importance of it. So we should want to pay attention to it. So we know that as a Christian, a foundational thing, an absolute truth defining all of Christianity is resurrection. Now, typically, somebody says, what's the defining truth of Christianity for you that you hold on to? And I immediately would say forgiveness. That's mine, okay? Well, that's good, and it's around, it's up in the top five, I'm sure. But what it says here, it's resurrection. It's resurrection, because you don't have forgiveness without the resurrection. See, it's just all a farce. It's all a fake without the resurrection. Resurrection made forgiveness work. And so when we don't look at that, we need to pay attention of it as believers. And two, when people say, what do you stand on? What do you want to argue about? Well, here's 10,000 subjects that the world wants. No, I'm just going to say resurrection. That's it. So that's where we start. You know, it really cuts down on in our interaction when people want to challenge us. You know, we don't have to learn 10,000. We just say resurrection. See? And then it focuses in the whole thing of what God says on the most important subject. Well, what about this? I don't know, but I believe in the resurrection. You see what I'm saying? So this is what God's saying. So we look at this, and he said, oh, by the way, if that's not it, just eat, drink, and be merry, argue with whoever you want to. See? So he's making an extreme point here in this one chapter. So this is an absolute truth of Christianity is the resurrection. Therefore, the title, the resurrection or nothing. As far as the resurrection or nothing. If it's not the resurrection, no sense messing around. I mean, coming here in the morning and Sunday morning or don't. No, just eat, drink, and be merry. So here, I just wanted to drive home that point. Now, so the resurrection is a foundational fact which we unwaveringly embrace. Got to. See, and that's what's being said here. And so we need to understand that. And if we understand that, then other stuff starts falling into place. You know, like don't get the cart before the horse. Now, so as we look at this, we say, All right, it's a big deal. I mean, we knew it was a big deal. You wouldn't be here. It's a big deal. But I was wondering when I was looking at this section, I said, gosh, do I think it's a bigger deal as God says it's a bigger deal? Why would I say when they say, what's the major thing of Christianity makes it different for anyone else? I'd say forgiveness. Well, from now on, I'm going to say the resurrection, and then forgiveness. Okay? Then until God tells me something different, I'm going to go there. So when we look at this, we want to look closely at this and understand, you know, the depth and ramifications of what God's saying about Jesus' resurrection. So what he's saying here, it's so fascinating. Just as Jesus was resurrected, we also have confidence that we will be resurrected. You with me? We believe Jesus is resurrected. Hallelujah. You know, go out and go to the ball game. It's fun. No. His resurrection, because of his resurrection, we have confidence that we will be resurrected. Okay, now kind of that's a changer, isn't it? He was resurrected, but that's the key, that we're going to be resurrected. Now I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 15:20. You notice I'm saying 1 Corinthians 15. It says this, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. So Paul is talking about, he's clarifying this issue. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, okay? He's talking to people. He's seen it. The other disciples have seen Christ, you know, the risen Christ, visibly see him, and he's passing on this message. And so, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. But now look what he says. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus resurrected, but he's the first fruits of those fallen asleep. Now, I want us to think about that, because if you're like me, a lot of times you can just kind of skip over it, like first fruits. Well, exactly what does that mean? It's the first fruits. Well, he's first, but in the scripture, it has a fascinating meaning, first fruits does. I mean, it really is fascinating, going all the way to the Old Testament. Like it would say, offer up the first fruits of your field. Now what it mean? You got this field and say it's wheat, and you get this first fruits of it, this whatever, and you give it to the Lord. Like you wave it before him or whatever. You know, you gave him the first fruit. Well, what that means is the first fruit represents all the fruit connected. So when you raise the first fruit, it's a picture that all the rest of the fruit would be just like this fruit. I dedicate the first fruit. You just dedicated your whole field. All of it. And what the first fruits look like, the rest of your field looks like. So it, you see the kind of big meaning? And you think, okay, great. I bring it up here because Jesus is the first fruit. We could have called Jesus anything, but said he is the first fruit. So this interesting word, first fruit means, first fruit is the very first of the harvest. It's the very first harvest. Now follow me on this, because I think it's really important. It's the very first of harvest. The first fruit is the exact picture of what the total harvest that is to follow will look like. First fruits. It's a picture of what the total harvest will look like. Big word. Then the first fruits of good wheat means the total harvest to follow will look the same. Now follow me? I'm being monotonous enough. All right. Likewise, Jesus is the first fruit of the resurrection, which means the total harvest to follow will be just like Jesus. Let that sink in. Will be just like Jesus. Now it ties another way. We will reign with Jesus. We're co-heirs. Wait a minute. Jesus is kind of up there and I'm kind of down here. And you know, but no, you don't understand this picture. You don't understand this picture. What I am saying, when he comes up, what Lord is saying, he's the first fruit. And that's what it's supposed to look like. That's what a man and woman is supposed to look like. That's who they are supposed to be. And when he is resurrected, you see him as the first fruit, meaning all the ones that come, that die and come after him, will look like him, will function like him, will have a heart like him. It paints a whole different picture of Christians. He's the first fruit, and we're going to be just like him when we die. Resurrected. He's the first fruit. Good word? Like first fruit? That's a good word. And so it means this total harvest that follows Jesus, or everything that dies after Jesus, is going to look just like Jesus. Jesus is the guarantee of the believer's resurrection. Hallelujah. All God's people said, amen. It's like, oh my goodness. And praise Jesus. Now, the Lord goes on to explain this a little farther. And this is why he goes back. He said, I want you to kind of understand. I want you to understand this. You're missing the point. So I want you to understand how all this comes about. Jesus, God, became man, was resurrected, you know, sits at the right hand of God. He's the first fruit. Here we come. And he goes, this is why this works that way, because we need it as a salvation because of man's sin and how man fell short of God's glory, okay? So what he does, he gives us an example. This is what God. Now, he's given us an example of this first fruit. He wants us to understand. 1 Corinthians 15, 21, 22. For as by man, death by a man has come, and also the resurrection of the dead. Let me read that one more time. For as by a man, death came. We got that? For a man, by death, death came. Death came to a man, and it followed everybody else. And by a man has come also resurrection of the dead. Who is what? Who? Jesus. So, there's the man, and all death came from that man. But then there's another man, and all life comes from that other man. See, that man was first fruits, this other man's first fruits. Then he goes on and tells us who they are. For as in Adam, all die. Now I want you to tell me, who is Adam? Who is Adam? Was he the third man? He's the first man. He is the first man. He's the first fruit. He's the first fruit. And the first fruit died. The first fruit sinned and died. And all mankind after Adam died. There, all the death is from Adam, following him as the first fruit. We follow. As Adam died, he looks at it, so is all the rest of the people that come after, they're going to die. See the principle? It's amazing. One thing I love about reading Bible, God is terribly consistent. Terribly. Well, I'm not, that doesn't mean anything. You look, oh, that happens to me in everything. Oh, okay. So you, now he explains it further in verse 22. Now again, the reason we're talking about this is so we can understand Jesus and resurrection, and we're resurrected. This isn't a side issue. It's to help us understand. So the next verse, 22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. God says, see, that's how I work. It's not happenstance. Well, all these people died, and what happened? Because they're out of Adam. He died, all the rest of his, and said he's the first man. It means all the other men and women came after, and they all died, just like Adam did. But I'm going to change this. So I'm going to send another man. And this man is Jesus. And this Jesus will die, but he's going to be resurrected. And all those that believe in him, and Jesus is the first fruit, and now all those that believe in him will be alive. He showed us how it works. And the whole, well, what about that? Believe in Jesus, because they're hooked to Adam and his death. And to get out of that, you have to trust Jesus and who he is, and be hooked to him and his life and resurrection. It's a choice. But you're going to be in one of the two. Y'all with me? I mean, you look at this and like, well, this is just really is kind of powerful. So Let me go through. Adam was the first fruit of death, and all people followed in his death. Jesus is the first fruit of life, and all believers will follow in his resurrected life. Isn't that simple? Who thought? Y'all don't look like you think that's simple. You're going, what? Okay, but this has got some explaining it to you so you understand what's happening. You what's happening here. Now, to help us understand the mystery of our resurrection, God gives us examples through his creation. So he's not done showing us. I have to say this. When I see the Lord explain things like this, I just love it, you know. And it kind of gives me encouragement. Because if people accuse me, well, many faults, but one fault, they say, you elaborate too much. It's just one of these kind of, the kids used to tell me, and they're growing, hey, Dad, I'd like to talk to you. He said, Dad, 25 words or less. I said, you know, I don't have all afternoon, you know. And it's like, okay. And that's hard, you know. But I feel bad. See, Jesus didn't have those constraints, you know. He just said, just kick it to talk. So anyway, I'm just saying I feel better about elaborating. Because God has elaborated here. So he's not done telling us about the resurrection. And he's not done telling us about understanding of Jesus being the first fruits. And then we follow like him. And we're going to be just like him, those first fruits. We're going to be like Jesus. And so now I'm going to continue to explain to you about this resurrection, how it looks. I want you to see how it looks. Y'all want to see how it looks? Okay. Verse 36, 1 Corinthians 15, 36, 43. I don't have an overhead for this, but y'all can go ahead and read it. So he says, now I want you to understand. Now, I would never say this to you, the first part of this verse. I wouldn't say it. But I think it's interesting that God said it. You foolish people. Like that, I would say that. But anyway, God said, you're not getting, you don't understand. You foolish people. You foolish people. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Got a bag of seed? Got a bag of seed? Unless that seed is dead and you sow it, it doesn't come back to life. I had some grass seed in the garage. I don't know, been there 5 or 6 years, and I was looking for stuff. I moved, and I forgot I had it. I pulled that 6 years sitting around this bag, grass seed. All right. So I had in bare spots. I went planting. Grass grew like crazy. It just laid there dead. You know, until I planted it. Now, if I cut a whole bushel of grass, it'd be like dried up straw. You could blow it away. But it died, the seed, and it was ready for life. But there's not ready for life unless it dies. Are you, you getting the process? God said, I'm telling you how I work here. I'm telling you how you function here. I'm giving you something you need to understand here. You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. You get to rip off a bunch of corn, you know, ears, just rip them off and go and stick them in the ground someplace. They won't work. It won't grow. It won't even die and grow. It'll just fade away. And that's what he's saying. No, it's got to die first. And everybody knows that. Pull off the corn, you think that, put it in the bag. Next year, you come out and plant it grows. So he's telling us that. Like he says, you ought to know this. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is it is to be, but a kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. Look at this. Here's a we don't see the resurrected body. You say, well, it's just like a corn kernel. Okay, that's the resurrected body. Corn kernel. And it dies, you know. You say, well, so when it resurrects, it's going to be a bunch of corn kernels. No, you plant it and go, and oh my God, you get one kernel, you get this whole field, and you get this whole bush. You got several, you know, ears on one thing. It's just massive, you know. And he said, that's the resurrection. And I said, we're the kernel. I mean, we think we're a hot shot, go get them. But it says, no, we're the kernel. And when that dies and that plants, then what it's supposed to be will come forth at the resurrection. It's greater. See, he's telling us something to understand. Do you understand how corn and wheat work? Yeah. He said, well, that's how it works with you. You're not the full-blown wheat. You're the kernel. And it's not going to be worth a flip until it dies. then it's planted, and then what the full body will be, you're going to see. And you don't see it now. You're not going to see it now. So he continues with that. You look at it, and so says, but God gives it a body, this kernel, but God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. Now, I don't know, I may be reading in that too much, but we're a lot of seeds. And I think when we die and become kernels and are planted and we see the resurrected body, I just, from reading this, I got a funny feeling we're not all going to look the same. I mean, we're going to be looking really sharp, but there's going to be a variety. Variety. See? We're going to have a kernel, we'll go out, and we're all going to look like Wallace. Oh, God. You know, I know at least a couple of people in this room that said, please, Lord Jesus, you wouldn't do that. And my wife and son and other people said, don't let that, Lord. No, it's going to be, there's a variety. And you look at people right now, there's a big variety. We're all different. But he said, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen, because there's something he's trying to tell us. No, I give to each seed a body that's different from everybody else. And it's going to be something unbelievable. See, that's what he's saying. So this resurrection thing is really getting exciting. You think, well, this could be really glorious. And the person we're going to be like is Jesus, who is like everything, and the majesty we understand him is overwhelming. And so, no, you're going to be like him, and you're going to multiply him out in glory. So this is there for a reason. It's there for a reason. I'll read it again. But God gives it a body, this kernel that's died, as he has chosen. As wheat's going to be wheat, as corn's going to be, no, as he has chosen. Because I've chosen something for your kernel when you die. And each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same. But there is one kind for humans, another kind for animals, another kind for birds, another kind of fish. Now, is he worried about resurrecting fish in this thing? I mean, is this his point? No, he said, but it's the variety of all these people are, and they come up, they're each one going to have a difference that is as different as these animals I have told you. Are y'all with me? I mean, we're talking, oh, mercy, I'll just come back. Me is me, and I made it, you know? And no, you don't have a clue what's waiting for you. You don't have a clue of who you're going to be. You don't have a clue of what you'll be able to do. Then he goes on to say, there are, now it takes it to a whole different realm. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is of one kind. The glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For star differs from star in glory. God's got a lot of majesty going on here, making things just, you know, fancy the way he likes it. So he's... all these things, all these differences, all these majesties, all this variety, all these gifts, all this unbelievable thing. And then he goes on and says this. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. You ain't seen nothing yet. You don't have a clue. I mean, you're going to think, I can't believe that was wimpy me on earth. Oh, my God. I was just a kernel. Now I'm a whole stinking corn stalk with 15 ears of kernels on me. See, God said, I don't know how to explain it to you. You don't have a clue what I have for you, but the magnitude of change is that similar, and I can take it from my own creation because I am consistent. This is what I am going to do at the resurrection. And so all of a sudden we're looking like, well, there's something after death. You know, now I know, I just got thing on Facebook yesterday, a friend of mine, his wife died. You know, it's sad, and it always is sad. But when you ask the Apostle Paul, he says, oh, man, I really want to die and be with the Lord. That's what he said. Why? Because he understood this. See, he said, man, what's waiting? I mean, this is going to be, we're talking about some good stuff. You know, this is more than anyone could ever imagine. And so he understood it so much, embraced it to such, he says, I'm not afraid of anything. I can't wait to be with the Lord. I can't wait. I mean, it's something, oh, if you could just see. And by the way, he had a peek. And they said, what'd you see? He said, I can't even talk about it. Come on, Paul. And that's scripture. I can't talk about it. But you see, but it's all tied in here, you know. And so we're looking at this whole thing of the resurrection, of the resurrection. So it is with the resurrection. What is sown perishable? What's perishable? I love doing this. Grab your little cheek. The police, go ahead. I know what's embarrassing. That's perishable. That's perishable. Linda and I was talking this morning that we're more perishable today than we were 10 years ago. It's like, Lord, I'm starting to buy into this perishable. You know, things ain't working the way they should. So, as she used to tell me, I'll be honest. When we were going together, I was playing football. I was pretty good shape. And we'd date, you know. And I said, come on. And I said, hit me. Hit me. In my stomach, hit me. So she'd just bounce off. Hit me again. Okay, a little arrogance, but. This morning she said, what happened to that? Hit me. It all comes back. It all comes back. I said, the hit me is long gone. I said, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Okay. But what, so what it's saying here, and it's telling us, what is sown is perishable. It's just gonna go. Now y'all laughing, you're gonna follow behind. Just letting you know. You ain't getting out of this, okay? So what is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. I can just see it in my glorified body. Hit me. Come on. No, that's not. But it's imperishable. It's imperishable. We're raised imperishable like Jesus. And he's the first fruits. We're going to look like him. We're going to act like him. We're going to function like him. We're going to co-reign with him, reign with him. Raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Now, all this is Paul explaining. I want you to understand about the resurrection for you. And Jesus is the picture. And then here's a very fascinating thing. Our natural body is proof of the coming resurrected spiritual body. How do I know there's a spiritual body? Because you're here. You're here. Okay? And who you are is in you, but this body's going to waste away. But it's proof that he's going to cover it with something better. See, so us being here in the physical is proof of the spiritual body to come. However, as the natural body was perishable, the resurrected body is imperishable for all eternity. We're raised to be just like Jesus for all eternity. Imperishable. That's a little piece of heaven. That's a little piece of heaven. First Corinthians 15:44 says this. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Got to have one to have the other. You can't skip it. Can't skip it. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Our physical body is proof of our future spiritual body. It's proof. What does it look like? Good grief. I spent 44 verses telling you. And I said, look at Jesus. He's the first fruit. It's going to look like Jesus and things. So, Easter. Our natural body is a seed sown when we die. Our fleshly seed, our body, will be raised at the resurrection as an imperishable, glorious, and powerful body. It's like, hallelujah. Say, all God's people say what? Amen. Say it a little louder than that. All God's people. Amen. Hallelujah. And then, so with all this understanding, and we see about the resurrection, look how God summarizes it. Now, he summarizes the whole thing. And this helps us as believers, and we see believers pass on. This really helps us, okay? So he summarizes it with this. This is God's summary. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Oh, death, where is your victory? No victory in death. Oh, death, death has no victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Now, see, that's what the Apostle Paul said. Oh, man, I can't wait. I want to go. Death lost its victory. Death lost its sting. He said, it is far better for me to go and be with you than stay here. But because of you, I will stay here. But it's better for me. There's no death. You know, there's no victory. There's no sting. They lost it. Death lost the whole thing because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection. The resurrection should change our entire view of life. Our whole view of life should be different. Everybody's worried. Everybody's been worried about dying. You know, Paul's going to put me on the front line. You know, sooner the better. I mean, it's like, I'll do what you tell me. He didn't do it on his own, but he asked the Lord. Now, with that summary, now Paul closes. See, he did. He's going to finally close this thing. This is in chapter 15. But you may say, okay, gosh, that's unbelievable, and I'm here. Lord, that's overwhelming. But what do I do? If this is true, and I believe it's true, what do I do? What do I do with this, what I know? He tells us in verse 58. And so we should take it very seriously when he tells us. Now, he did give us specific things, you know, because God will independently tell us specific things. But he tells us what we're supposed to do, okay? You go, and it opens up, verse 58 opens up with therefore. Now, therefore is really important. Very important. You know what therefore means? Therefore means because of all the stuff I just told you in chapter 15, therefore. So you can't skip the rest of it and go to therefore. You got to read the rest of it. I've heard this preached several times, and they miss the therefore. You know, they miss the resurrection. You know, I mean, it's nice. I didn't hold my hand up or anything. But, you know, it's like the therefore is because of the previous chapter 15. I've just told you about the resurrection, your resurrection, the magnitude of it. Oh, my goodness, death is defeated. Therefore, and here it is. And this is what God is telling us for personal application. Therefore, my beloved brothers. See, we're beloved brothers and sisters because we have Christ as our Savior, made us brothers and sisters. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You have a shot, the dude's, you do it. You do it. That's what you do. Why? Because of the resurrection. And everything counts towards the resurrection. Everything counts towards resurrection. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. God blesses and guides us in this life. Hallelujah. But without the resurrection, it's nothing. We're just to be pitied. Just to be pitied. But more importantly, because of the resurrection, we also are storing up treasure in heaven that will persist for our benefit through all eternity. Y'all with me? All eternity. And that's because of the resurrection. That's because of the resurrection. And all that you're doing for the Lord abounds. See, the therefore abounds in the word. Therefore, because of it, abound. And knowing that everything you do for the Lord is not in vain. That's connected to the resurrection. It's connected to the resurrection. See? And the benefits of what we've done will persist throughout all eternity. Amen? Oh, I'm not getting nothing done here, and nothing's working out. I'm doing this. I share people. They don't listen. I work hard here. I don't get to. Lord, and I keep doing this. You tell me to do this. This is frustrating me to death. Lord goes, so? So? But what you're doing, you're building treasures in heaven. They'll persist through all eternity. And what you're not rewarded for here, you're going to be rewarded in eternity. See, it affects your whole outlook. Why are you doing that? Nobody cares. Nobody doing that. It's just, waste of time. What benefit are you going to be doing here? That's all right. Because it's building treasures in heaven that persist through all eternity. And that's therefore, it's a little easier to be steadfast, immovable, and abounding in work of the Lord. Hey, it's working for Jesus. It's working for Jesus. He told me to do this, you know. And really, it's more benefit if you don't get benefit here. You know, man, he must be storing up the whole bunch for eternity. See? I mean, your mindset totally changes because of the resurrection of Jesus. And Jesus is the key that we are going to be resurrected. Paul elsewhere admonishes each other. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Tell folks, oh, this is terrible. Nobody cares what I'm doing. Listen, the resurrection. God is building all this up for all eternity for you. Do you see what he's doing for you? You be like Jesus. You encourage one another. Encourage one another. The truth of the resurrection will shape the lives of believers in the Christian community. We should be steadfast, doing the Lord's work, knowing that Jesus will reward us at his coming. It's not in vain. That's what we mean. It's not in vain. Abounding work of the Lord. It's not in vain. It accomplishes. It accomplishes. Store up yourself in treasure. So I'm going to wrap up with that. And just, now this is the, and really with this message, the reason it was written, and the reason that I share it with you, is that you personally can grab hold of this and say, wait a minute. The resurrection has meaning for me of what Lord intended. In fact, the resurrection is a foundational pillar for the Christian faith. You can't skip it. You can't even skip it and go to forgiveness like I always do. So it's resurrection. Then the forgiveness, you know. But if you don't understand the resurrection, see. So he's talking to, who is he talking to? Believers. He's talking to believers. What about non-believers? They don't believe. What should you talk to them about? The resurrection. Let's talk about this political issue, this political issue, this political, what political, this? No, talking about resurrection. Because once they grasp the resurrection, they'll grasp the rest of it. Ah, that nonsense. I got the resurrection. You see what I'm saying? So that's what the church should understand. This is really huge for us. I encourage you to read through it. Paul, no place better in the entire Bible do you have information, better information on the resurrection than 1 Corinthians chapter 15. No place. And you read through that, and the Lord goes to great detail to explain so we'll understand. And he's telling us, you know how Jesus, oh yeah, I just praise Jesus, I'm so excited about it. Okay, that's what you're going to be like. Well, no, I just like praising him. You know, it's like, no, that's what you're going to be like. This is the whole point. He's the first fruit. You will co-reign. Did you know that's in the Bible? You co-reign. He doesn't reign over you. You co-reign. See, well, if you got co-reign, then you kind of got to have a some sort of connection there to co-reign. See, so just take it, be encouraged, and hallelujah, the Lord Jesus Christ has risen. And like the person on Facebook said, that's a game changer. That's a game changer. Well, we'll close like the women went to the tomb and the angels were there. And the angels told the women, why do you seek for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He's risen. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, you're telling us things we would never know. We couldn't imagine this. We can pretend. There's not any thing that we could come up with such a beautiful picture of who you are and what you've done for your people. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the Word of God, the inspired Word of God that speaks to us and reveals things to us of who you are and what you're doing. We thank you for your Word, Lord. We thank you for what you said about us. We thank you that you died for us. We thank you that we are forgiven. But most of all, we are thankful that you arose. You arose and sat at the right hand of the Father. We thank you, God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.